The Legal Lowdown on Kerry Today.
Miriam, good morning. My apologies, we're a little later than usual, so we will crack straight into the queries that have come in for you. First one, my partner and I are living together for 5 years. It's her house. We don't have a will made yet. We're talking about one, but she's not keen on making a will. If she dies, what happens to the house and will I become homeless? We aren't married and we don't have any children.
Yes, and I suppose very interesting query and one that's very relevant nowadays, because as people get married later or don't get married at all and they're living in a committed intimate relationship and the property may be in one name or the other. So it obviously is a worry for this particular person. Now, if their partner died, they would have a cohabitee kind of redress protection under the cohabitants legislation because they've been living together for over 5 years, going on over 5 years now, and they've no children together. So there would be relief under that legislation. If the partner decided to make a will and leave something, the house, maybe a life interest in the house or the house itself to their partner, there is a tax exemption for that person living in the house. Otherwise, you see, when people are living together and they're not spouses, their tax threshold is 20,000. So there's potential for huge tax implications in relation to transfer of assets and wills and all that kind of thing. But if the person who's living in the house, who's not on the title, inherits, there is as long as they've no other property, there is an exemption in relation to the house you live in. Aside from that, if this person, like if their partner doesn't make a will at all and then they die, it'll go by intestacy to their next of kin, not their partner. But their partner then has the option of bringing an application under the cohabitee legislation, and that's where the redress scheme kicks in. And the very, I suppose, object of that scheme would be to make sure that person doesn't become homeless, where this has been their home for so long and they've been in an intimate, committed relationship. The other interesting thing, and again, hopefully it'll be remedied in the future, is this: if they are left nothing, if there's a will made and they're left nothing, or it goes on intestacy and they get nothing by law, and they apply under the cohabitee scheme and get a share of the house, then that would be tax free. They wouldn't have to worry about the tax implications. At the same time, it would be a good idea. I mean, this person is worried about their security long term, and obviously the best way of protecting that is by way of a will. And if the person didn't want to leave them the house in its entirety, there are loads of other options, like leaving them the house for a certain period of time or a life interest in the house. So there's lots of potential out there. But for the person who put in the query, there is protection for them under the cohabitants legislation. Once they're living together 5 years with no children, or living together 2 years where they have children together.
Next question. Listener wants to know, if I put my cousin's name in with my will to sort out my will when I die, what, and then he dies, then what happens?
Yeah, I mean, this is I suppose, a classic example. And usually when we're doing up wills for people, we always try to have at least two executors, because if something happens to one of them, you have a backup executor to manage the will. Having said all that, there is help out there in the Succession Act, because what it says is if your executor dies before you die and there is nobody in situ to manage the will as you've appointed them, then the law sets out who is entitled to become the executor, and we take out a kind of a separate grant. It's like a grant of administration with will annexed, and somebody who's entitled by law, usually the residuary legatee, whoever's left property in the will, would be entitled to apply to take out the grant to the will. Just another little point there. If they're appointing their cousin executor, we often say that, you know, to leave something to the executor in the will, to, you know, for the trouble that they're taking in relation to managing the estate. But the tax threshold for cousins would be 20,000. So one would need to be careful what one leaves them in the will in relation to the tax implications as well.
Now, caller had a divorce from his wife and the price was estimated as 3,000 to 5,000, as there was no contest between him and his wife, his ex-wife. The end price was 17,000. How did that get so high?
Yeah, I mean, the initial price he was given would be normal for a no contest divorce. But there are, I suppose, there's a number of issues which could have risen the price in that scenario. It's all related to the amount of time involved. So there may have been numerous court dates. There may have been multiple different types of orders, including pension orders. And it depends on the type of assets that were involved. I mean, if there was transfer of property involved, transfer of shares, pension orders, all those would escalate the price. And I mean, if he looks closely at his bill or asks for an itemised bill, that may explain it better to him what actually was involved.
Now, I think this has come up before. Unfortunately, someone's worried about a neighbour. They believe they're vulnerable. This person lives alone. They've no relatives. And the person who's got in touch with us is fearful that this vulnerable neighbour is being taken advantage of by someone. And they want to know, is there anything they can do for their neighbour? And, for example, a nomination next of kin or something like that. It's a very difficult situation.
It is. And, you know, it's like, I suppose, we've lots of ads on the telly in relation to interventions, in relation to domestic violence. And I suppose this is something that has been highlighted about safeguarding of older and vulnerable people. And if you go into the HSE website, they have a whole area dedicated to this as to how neighbours can help and make a positive intervention in relation to helping this person. There's a helpline, and also there are specialist social workers who would go out and visit and help the person in that situation.
We'll give some of those numbers out on that as well, for phone numbers as well, particularly for anyone maybe who doesn't have immediate access to the HSE website, those supports for those who are vulnerable. I know Sage Advocacy are a great group as well to contact as well. So we'll get to some of those numbers presently. But thank you so much for reaching out, and you certainly are a good neighbour. The concern you have for that person you think is maybe taking advantage of. Now, another listener wants to know, what cost is it to put my daughter's name in with mine? I presume this is due to property. She's 39 years old.
That's right. The impression I'm getting there is it's her family home, and she wants to put her, I presume it's her only daughter, that she wants to put her on the house. And in relation to that, and presumably jointly with her, so that there'd be three taxes involved. Once the half the house is under 400,000, there's no gift tax. There may be a capital gains tax issue depending on what was the value of the house when she got it, and what's the value of it now when half it's been transferred to the daughter. And then there'd be stamp duty at 1% on half the value. Interestingly enough, if they bring in they're talking about bringing in stamp duty relief for first-time buyers, and that might apply to this daughter as well if she hasn't got another home and she's effectively like a first-time person. But just to look, there's usually, and any transfer of property from parents to children, there's three taxes one has to look at: the gift tax, the capital gains tax, and the stamp duty. And I suppose the big advantage of it, if this is an only daughter, is if Anne dies down the line, or if either of them die, the property will transfer automatically to each other, and she may be able to avoid the cost of a grant to probate, effectively. Yeah.
And just coming back to that query about a person worried about their vulnerable neighbour being possibly taken advantage of, just to some of those numbers, as Miriam said, you can get them on the HSE website. For dealing with an adult with disability, there is a group called Advocacy.National Advocacy Service, and their website is advocacy.ie, and their national line is 0818 07 3000. That is 0818 07 3000. More on advocacy.ie to help older people who may be vulnerable. Sage Advocacy, sageadvocacy.ie, and their phone number is 01 536 7330. Sage Advocacy, for if you've concerns about an older person who you fear is being taken advantage of. And indeed, if you want to, if there's also the Office of the Confidential Recipient, Office of the Confidential Recipient. They are, they act as an independent voice for older people and adults with a disability, people who are vulnerable, and they can help you if you've concerns maybe about care. I think this is more if you're concerned about how people are cared for in a HSE or HSE funded service, but they also can be contacted. But Sage Advocacy, I think, possibly might be the first port of call. And indeed advocacy.ie in relation to advice for older for people with disabilities, adults with disabilities who are in a vulnerable position. But thank you so much again for taking time to contact us about that situation. Now, another query for you there, Miriam. Can you put a stipulation into your will that your house won't be sold for a year after your death?
Yes, and we were talking about this last month, just about, you know, putting conditions in wills and all that kind of thing. And as long as the conditions aren't against public policy or a restraint on marriage or, you know, some criminal element to them or something that's against public policy, you can put conditions into your will. And often, very often families wouldn't sell property for more than a year after a person's death anyway, from an emotional point of view. But it could be stipulated in the will to, I suppose, allow a house to remain in the family and to be used in the family before it's sold and proceeds divided. So the family would have time to, you know, be in and out of the house, and that their home wouldn't disappear immediately. So conditions of that nature can be put into a will. And one of the issues that came up last month was about a son having a right to live in a house until he got married, and then they were wondering, like, is there, you know, any way of removing that or whatever. But no, that's a very perfect, I wanted to look it up a bit more. That's perfectly valid because it's in support of marriage. But if you put a clause into a will that said that they have the gift provided they don't get married, that would be a no-no, you know. Or if they said, you know, made it an impossible condition, like, or as long as they don't get married to Dennis, do you know what I mean? Or something like that, that would be a no-no. And I suppose as a result, we veer against conditions, because even if a condition was unclear in some way, or you couldn't, it didn't look reasonable, it could be struck down. So we kind of veer against those and wills, yeah.
But next one up, yes, married couple with two children. If the husband dies, does the will have to go to probate? Caller always thought everything automatically went to the wife.
You see, if the property is in one or other's name, then there might be the need for a grant to probate. But as long as everything is in joint names, it should go by survivorship. The problem sometimes happens if, say, one of them has a bank account or shares that are in their sole name, and there's a large amount of money or assets in that, then a grant to probate has to be taken out. So it's just to alert people to think about it and ideally have a situation where there's a husband and wife that they don't have to get out a grant to probate. And it's very easy to ensure that cost is avoided by putting everything in joint names, and then it'll go by survivorship. If it's in one or other properties, there's a sole name scenario, then you might have to, it might have to go to probate.
Caller has been told that if you give your children 3,000 euro gift tax, but that when you die, those 3,000 euro gift taxes are added up and will be deducted by revenue from the lump sum on your death. Is that correct?
No. Each of those 3,000 per annum, which can be given by any by person to anybody, friends, relations, charitable organisations, obviously they're tax-free anyway, but that's a tax-free gift and it won't be added by revenue onto the other gifts in relation to adding up for the tax-free threshold. Where the problem arises is that the Fair Deal do take it into account if you've given 3,000 gifts to people within the 5 years of going into a home. So that's where the 3,000 euro could be taken into effect as money you've
for
given
fair
away
deal, for fair deal for the Fair Deal
and
scheme.
There'd be a clawback then that would be taken into account in terms of computing how the Fair Deal is organised. Yeah, so that's something one needs to be aware of. But revenue certainly don't take it into account. They respect the 3,000 gift exemption. And it does have to transfer completely, and we've gone into that before. You can put it into joint names. You have to hand over the gift completely to the other person, but then you get the benefit of the exemption.
And finally, and unfortunately we won't be able to get to all the queries we've got today, but we will get to them next month. We'll hold them over for Miriam. Can you ask Miriam if your husband has a will made but you don't have everything in joint names? What's the situation there for the wife? How does she fare out?
Yeah, again, we spoke about that. It links into the query further up that if they haven't everything in joint names, and the items in the sole name of the husband are over, say, 15,000 if it's in a credit union, or they've higher thresholds in the bank, something like 20 or 25,000, then a grand, or shares, maybe Kerry Group shares, a large number of those. In those cases, a grant of probate will have to be taken out to commute the assets over into the name of the wife. But provided he's a will and he sets out how things are to go, it should be easy enough. With most of the institutions, there's a small estates procedure whereby if there's small amounts in somebody's sole name, one can transfer them over fairly easily. But if it's a larger amount, the institution will demand a grant of probate in order to transfer the assets on. So that's the difficulty there. So that's why, as we were talking above, it's better to have, if you can, for husbands and wives to have everything in joint names so that it automatically passes to the other. Yeah.
Unfortunately, Miriam, we're out of time. Excellent as ever. You answered the question so well. And I'm sorry to everyone who sent in queries that we didn't get a chance to get to. We will pass them on to Miriam. She will deal with them next month. And we will podcast this programme as we do every Legal Lowdown. Miriam, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Tasha. And thanks, listeners, for all the queries. And hope you have a lovely blue sky day out there.